and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Joining me on set tonight is Isham Jalil. He is the new information chief for UMNO. He was just appointed about just over 2 weeks ago on November 20th. He also contested in GE15 as the Barisan National candidate for Shah Alam. He lost to Pakatan Harapan's Azli Yusof. So we welcome him to the show to talk all things GE15 and coalition government. Welcome, Isham. It's good to have you here.
Thank you for inviting me.
So let's go with the most, the biggest news, of course, is the coalition government, coalition cabinet. Zaid Hamidi being appointed as deputy prime minister. It was a controversial appointment, to say the least. I think a lot of people were uneasy that we have a deputy prime minister who has an ongoing trial involving 47 corruption-related charges. How do you, as information chief of UMNO, respond to the criticism, to the detractors who say he isn't a worthy deputy prime minister, that actually the deputy prime minister should not be someone with an ongoing court case?
Right. I suppose it's a necessary appointment, you know, because we need to stabilize the party first before we have a stable government. Mm-hmm. So if we have somebody else as the TPM, for example, so there are going to be a lot of rife in the party. So he's the president of UMNO, so we got to stabilize UMNO first before we go to form a stable government. So that's why he is chosen and is the leader of the party.
Why not Ismail Sabri, who was the prime minister candidate during the campaign period?
He's number three in the party.
So it's about hierarchy within the party?
It is. It is. At this point, it is. Yes.
But during the campaign, UMNO was very insistent that it wasn't about the hierarchy in the party, that it was Ismail Sabri as prime minister candidate. And now the tables have turned and it seems that it's about hierarchy and the president is the deputy prime minister.
Yeah, there was a lot of dynamic that happened pre and post election, I suppose. So before this, we have a prime minister who was not the president of the party. Mm-hmm. So he was a poster boy. Should we won the election, GE15, 2 weeks ago, maybe he would have been the prime minister, but we did not win, so we lost. Mm-hmm. So the dynamic has changed. So we have to form the new coalition government with BH. So it was decided that because there was a lot of opinions with regard to the formation of the new government with our used-to-be foe. So this is why I think the dynamic has changed a little bit. So we need the leader of the party to be, to be in the highest position in the government that
so
we can be.
So Zaid Hamidi's appointment as deputy prime minister, has that effectively sealed his presidency bid in the upcoming party polls? Has that solidified his position, solidified his lead?
Oh, you can say that, but are we going to have party election in 6 months' time? Mm. So we're going to see what happens then. So in UMNO, we are, I think, a bit more democratic than many parties in Malaysia. So
in what way?
we did the presidential election in 2018. Uh-huh. Not other party didn't do that. I mean, he won the the election for the president in UMNO in 2018. We didn't have the election for 30 years. Last time we had the election was 1988. Mm. So PKR didn't have that, and PAS didn't have that. Even Pejuang or Bersatu didn't have that. So he got a mandate from, UMNO members.
Okay.
And this time around, so he's going to contest again. So anybody is welcome to contest against him for the presidency of UMNO in 6 months' time.
It would be quite interesting. So you say UMNO is a bit more democratic as a party compared to others.
Yeah.
What is the tolerance for dissenting voices? Has Zaid Hamidi's appointment as deputy prime minister and his clear lead or his cementing his influence as president of the party, has that silenced or stifled dissenting voices within the party?
Not necessarily. We have an open system in UMNO where everybody can voice out their opinions from the ordinary member up to the Supreme Council members. So in the last Supreme Council meeting, I think 31 out of 40 something members spoke out in the meeting. So we have difference of opinion, but once the decision has been made, everybody agreed to the decision and toe the line. So there's no problem of anybody want to defer the opinion with the leadership. So we have 3.5 million members in UMNO. So
that's true, that's true. But it is the political elite within the party that seem to make the most ripples, the most waves. There's no secret that there's factionalism within UMNO. It's quite a fractious party. There are camps. It's an open secret. I think even people outside of the party know that about the party dynamics.
Right.
How would you describe the unity of the party now, given that it has been a contentious time? You're on the back of a defeat from GE15. Some people made the cut for cabinet, others didn't. What would you say is the sentiment within the different factions of the party?
I suppose in any political parties, there will be factions. I think there are factions in DAP too.
Yes, PKRT, that's true. So that's true. But let's talk about UMNO, since you are the information chief. Are the factions still dividing the party? Not too long ago, we were talking about UMNO with political analysts, and there was such concern that this was a party that was going to implode from within.
Right. I think if you see from the support that the president caught last week from the chief of the divisions. So he got quite a substantial support. 130 out of 191 division chiefs support him. So openly declared that they support Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi to continue as the chairman of Barisan Nasional and the president of UMNO. And we had a meeting with the Wanita chief also. So the woman division of, you know, a wing of UMNO. So about 100 over Wanita chief support Dato' Sri Zahid Hamidi. So those are quite substantial, you know, support level in UMNO to the president at the moment. So
can I ask you about the coalition, Barisan Nasional?
The coalition.
Yes. What are the dynamics within coalition partners? Is it still a viable political coalition given the unhappiness that we have heard quite publicly from MIC and MCA?
I think that's up to them. I can't speak on behalf of MCA and MIC. Mm. So I suppose going forward, I think they have voiced out their disagreement in certain matters in the previous weeks.
Listening to their...
Of course we are. Okay. But I think they're coming around because we MCA and UMNO MIC, we are like... brothers. So of course there will be argument, but at the end of the day, we're going to sit down together. We've been around for 60 years, so we're going to work things out together. I suppose that's going to happen in the coming weeks or so.
Okay, I want to ask you about working together, since that seems to be the theme of this conversation. Let's talk about this cabinet.
Right.
And it's a coalition cabinet. So you're working together with people that you have gone to battle against.
Right.
You've competed against. These are your foes, political foes, essentially. But as they say, there are no permanent friends or enemies in politics. How do you see this cooperation? I think, is it a coalition cabinet in name only, or will we see true bipartisan cooperation within ministries, between ministries? What do you think?
Well, I think we make peace with our enemies and we keep our friends close. And throughout human history, I think, peace has always been achieved after war, rarely through other means, you know. Now we've been through war, we've been through the election, and of course we lost, but nobody won either. So after that election, and we formed the coalition government, and I think we've got to move forward from that. And this is going to be a good formula for us to unite the country too, because before this we have political parties, they are the reason for probably polarization that happened in this country. So we got racial issues and religion issues, incited by political parties. But now we are seeing political parties uniting together in one coalition government. So this is a good direction for the country too.
I mean, but it's happened so quickly. How can, yeah, so how yes. can, I mean, it felt like a long time, but it's happened really quickly. Yeah. Change often feels very slow, but then it happens overnight. What, I guess what the question would be, how do you reverse decades of competition, of vilification, of painting the other as the boogeyman? How do you reverse that
right.
so quickly? And now our friends, and not just friends, colleagues and peers.
Right. There are, I think, a couple of factors that we've got to see. Number one is the ideological factor. Mm-hmm. Of course, ideologically, UMNO and DAP are really not compatible. But I think we ought to look past that. And if we say, for example, what are the counterfactual to that? So we form a government with Perikatan Nasional, for example. So you're going to move the country more and more polarized towards one end, but you're going to isolate the other segment of the, say, Bumi Putra Bukan Islam, or the non-Muslim community. Half of the country is non-Muslim. So how's that going to work? So with this coming about, the unity government between PH and Barisan Nasional, we're going to see UMNO and DAP working together.
I'm wondering if we will see a situation where there is, say, an UMNO minister and a DAP right. deputy prime minister, or vice versa.
Yeah.
How do you see that panning out? Would that be a good thing?
It opens up a lot of possibility, I suppose.
Of working together?
Of working together. I mean, UMNO needs the support from, always has a problem with the support from non-Malay, from the Chinese particularly, and the DAP has always have a problem with the support from Malay. So if we see the both parties working together in the government, maybe there's an opportunity for both parties to work on the support level that they didn't have before. So we probably can see more non-Malay community opening up to UMNO, and the DAP can see probably more Malay community opening up to the to DAP.
That's politically expedient, I think.
Right.
But how do you explain that to your base, given the decade, the many, many times we've heard no right. UMNO, no DAP being shouted out by an UMNO politician?
Well, that's ideological. And the other part that we need to look into is the practicality. I mean, if we cooperate with Perikatan Nasional, for example, if we say we succeed in rebuilding the party for GE16, so UMNO are going to contest about 120 seats. Mm. Previously, we contested 120 seats. But if we cooperate with PN, we're going to have to reduce the number of seats that we can contest, because PN already secured 73 plus 12 seats.
So you see
right.
your political longevity of the party.
Of course, yeah. We got to look into that. It's for survival okay. of
for
UMNO
survival
too.
Of the party yeah. work together with yeah. who you once considered yeah. enemies.
Yeah, because you see, if you work with PN, you can't contest 85 seats.
Is this the end of the campaigning on hate? Campaigning against a negative campaign against other parties? Will we see in future campaigns no more calling out of your political foes, because who knows who you might have to work with after the elections?
I suppose that's a good thing for Malaysian politics.
That is a good thing. That is a good thing. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Let's come back and continue this conversation with Isham Jalil, the new information chief for UMNO. Stay tuned to Consider This. Hi, welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, and I'm chatting tonight to Isham Jalil. He is the new information chief for UMNO. We were just talking before the break about cooperation within this coalition cabinet, coalition government. Is this coalition government a marriage of convenience that is for the short term? Or do you see this having longevity, changing the alignment, political alignment of the political landscape?
I think this change is good. I mean, if we can work together politically, difference of opinion parties before this. I mean, I suppose the people can do that too. So first we unite the political parties first, and then we go ahead to unite the country. But what's more important is for us to focus on, the matter in front of our eyes now, which is the economic problem.
Okay.
So a lot of people don't have jobs, right? You know, today 700,000 people unemployed. So we got to work on that. So we got to look beyond politics, and we last time we wanted mandate from the people for the election. Now we already got mandate. So we got to focus on solving the bread and butter issue, the economic problem particularly.
Okay. I want to come back to that mandate
word,
because I think that's a very loaded phrase to use.
A loaded phrase to use, yeah.
But we have a special sitting of parliament on the 19th,
right,
where we know there's going to be a vote of confidence.
Yeah.
Isham, is there anything that might derail the cooperation heading into that special sitting?
I don't see much of a possibility of any derailing the government at the moment, because I think that Tun Sri Anwar has a very strong support among the parliamentarians. So he got like more than 140 parliamentarians
and
supporting him.
And UMNO's right now support and backing is steadfast?
Yeah, I suppose today it is. 30.
Today it is?
Today
and going forward. Okay, just had to check. All right.
Right, okay.
Okay, so let's come back to the issue of mandate and the performance in GE15.
Sure.
So UMNO and Barisan Nasional experienced the worst election results that
yeah,
it had
did.
Ever experienced, winning only 30 seats,
right,
losing even some of the safe seats
yeah.
to other parties. Have you done a post-mortem? Have you done some soul searching within the party? What is the sentiment?
Yeah, for the last 1 week
now.
Or so, two weeks now. Yeah, I think we did a little bit of initial study, I guess.
What is the first kind of reaction when the party does a self reflection, does a stock take of what has happened?
What's the feedback? We contested 120 seats and we lost a lot of those seats to Perikatan Nasional, basically, not to BH.
Mm-hmm.
So we lost 73 seats, like I mentioned before, to Perikatan Nasional, 49 to PAS and 24 to PPBM. And there are 12 seats that we got number three, so they got number two, we lost to BH. So 85 seats that we actually lost to Perikatan Nasional. So we got to look into this. I suppose in the surface, we can see that we lost because of maybe the tagline, you know, they campaign on Bersih and Stabil. We campaign on Stabil and Makmur. So they campaign on clean government or something. So
Perikatan Nasional is perceived to be cleaner, less corrupt than
That's what
UMNO?
They're saying. That's what they're saying.
But that's what voters are saying.
Yeah, but that's yet to be seen. Because now we're having the 600 billion issue that they have to answer for. So, and we are saying they are spending splurge during the election from Perikatan Nasional itself. So we got to ask the question, what happened to the 600 billion during the administration of Muhyiddin? Whether they used part of the 600 billion to finance their campaign. So whether they're truly clean and bersih, this is yet to be seen. So they have to answer for that. So because part of the reason that we lost probably is because of the amount of money, used by Perikatan Nasional against us. So there are allegations of them using the money and paying voters to vote for them. So these have to be looked into. We don't want people to win because of money.
So Perikatan Nasional aside, what was it about UMNO that caused it to lose so many Malay votes to Perikatan? I mean, you can argue that they campaigned on a Bersih platform, a clean platform, anti-corruption
right.
platform. They campaigned with a lot of money. Maybe they had a lot of
right.
money. But surely there must be some kind of self-reflection within UMNO itself to say, why have Malays opted not to vote for us? Why have our voter base
yeah.
swung somewhere else?
Right. On our side, I suppose we need to do some rejuvenation for the party. And we got to see to why we lost a number of seats to Perikatan Nasional, and then we got to figure out.
This is the second resounding defeat.
This is the second resounding defeat. That you're right. So we can't, if you keep doing the same thing all over again, so we're going to end up with the same result. So I guess for GE16, if you want different result, for us, we got to do different things. Now we got to start figuring out what different things that we got to do. to win back the seats, particularly the Malay areas that we lost to become
Hisham, how long have you been an UMNO member?
Quite a long time.
Okay, so you've been with the party for a very long time.
I've started hanging posters for UMNO since I was 8 years old. So
okay, a lifelong member then.
Right, yeah.
What do you think is needed for an UMNO revival in this iteration? Because UMNO has been through many revivals, many renaissance. But when we talk about the need for UMNO to rejuvenate, to refresh, to rethink its core.
Right.
For you as an UMNO member and now the information chief, what does that mean? What does that represent?
Well, 4 years ago, I wrote a book. It's entitled Hala Tujuh Orang Melayu dan UMNO Pasca 9 May 2018.
Okay.
So it's the direction for UMNO and the Malay after we lost 2018. So in the book, I wrote that, you know, one of the things that we need to do in UMNO is to shake the stigma of corruption in UMNO. So, you know, the root cause for corruption in any political party is politik wang or money politics. So we got to sort that one out first.
Mm.
So that's why we suggested for, you know, Political Financing Act. So one of it to mitigate corruption in money politics within any political party. It's not just UMNO. So this is something that we need to do. So if UMNO bring this, the Political Financing Act, to Parliament in this term, and we managed to get, because I fought for two things last time after we lost. Number one is anti-party hopping law,
okay, which
so
we've
that
seen.
Materialized. Okay. And the other thing that I fought for was Political Financing Act, which has not yet been materialized. So this you know, will help rejuvenate UMNO. We'll try to you know, shake some of the stigma on UMNO with regard to corruption and money politics. So this is probably will, you know, clean up the perception against UMNO with regard to all those things. So
okay. Do you think that this sentiment, this keenness or eagerness for reform that you are demonstrating today, do you think that is shared by your party members, particularly your party leaders? Because, you know, reform within a party means nothing if the leaders themselves are corrupt, if the leaders themselves don't subscribe to a clean and transparent or to do away with money politics.
Well, like it or not, we got to do it. Otherwise, we're going to lose more seats by the time we go into GE16. So this is something that we got to do. We got to clean up, you know, the image that we had, you know, the bad image that we had. So people look at UMNO, you know, we got a lot of aspersion casted upon us with regard to that.
Mm.
So we got to rebuild our image at the same time rebuilding the party from within. So
okay. So in the couple of minutes left, I did want to ask you about the upcoming state elections. So we're done with GE15 now.
Okay.
We're looking at state elections going forward. You were previously the information chief for UMNO for Selangor.
Yes.
The Selangor state election is going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
How do you see cooperation at the state level, given that there is cooperation at the federal level?
Yeah, this has yet to be discussed, by the way. So we don't know
yet. Is it
yet
something that you're thinking? Is that something
this
the party
is
thinking about?
This is something
that
the party is thinking about, yeah. So this is something really important. I think the state election is going to be something critical for UMNO because we lost the GE15, the parliament election. So we don't want to lose a lot of seats in the state election too. We're going to have like a few states that we're going to contest in. So the dynamic is changing. So we don't know yet whether we're going to contest as Barisan Nasional or as part of the coalition with PH, like we're seeing now in Tioman, where PH gave way to us in Tioman, and we gave way to PH in Padang Serai, for example. So is this thing going to continue going into the state election in Selangor, for example? So if it does, you know, let's see how we're going to do with that, how the seat allocation is going to be. If it does not continue, we do something like we did with Perikatan Nasional. We were in the government with them last time, where we're in the same government, but during election, we fight each other. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But at the moment, we still has not discussed yet on that. So it's going to be interesting how
I would love to be a fly on the wall in that discussion. I think it's going to be an intense one.
I want to see how that's going to pan out too. I mean, it's going to be interesting.
All right. Hisham, thank you so much for being on the show. Yeah. That was my conversation with Hisham Jalil. He's the newly appointed information chief for UMNO. That wraps up this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.